Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be with you all here again today. Thankful for everyone who came out and thankful for all those of you who are joining us over in Internet land. If you have your Bibles with you today, please turn over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 24. Matthew, chapter number 24. While you are turning there, I'll try to give you something a little lighthearted. I was thinking one of the good things that's come out of this stinking virus is that now gas prices are incredibly low. Of course, there's nowhere to go. I don't know about you, but now one tank is about 3 weeks' worth of gas. Almost by the gallon. So if you found your place in Matthew 24, we're going to be starting over in verse number 3 and then reading down through verse number 12. So starting, for those of you who are with us today, if you would stand, please, to honor the reading of God's perfect word. It wouldn't hurt to do that at home as well. I remember when I was a kid, they used to end the broadcast day on TV, something kids nowadays don't know what those words mean. And they used to play the national anthem. And my mother and father drilled into me so much, I'd be at my own home, everybody else gone to bed in the house, and midnight, they'd play the national anthem, and I'd stand up because the national anthem was on. I think it's good for us to stand to show honor. So Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse number 3, speaking of Jesus. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your presence on this Lord's Day. And I thank you, Father, that you've given us a place where we can worship. I thank you, Father, you've given us your holy word that we can read, and that we can lean to, Father, for comfort. I ask you, Father, that you would meet with us here now, that you would anoint my lips, hide me behind the cross. May things come out, Father, that only the Holy Spirit would direct. May everything be pleasing in thy sight. These things we all ask in the powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Well, they say I have to give all your sermons a title, so I call this one Ready, Set. And of course, you know what comes after ready and set, which is go. And I think it's just about go time, church. And I'm talking about that go when the Lord is going to take his church out of this world. And as the Apostle John wrote in Revelation, even so come Lord Jesus. Are you ready to go? Are you ready for the Lord's return? If you are have never personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not ready, but you can be ready in one day, this very hour, this very minute, by accepting Christ. If you are a Christian, just because you're ready for the rapture and salvation, are you ready if things were to happen? Are you ready with how you prepared your family, with the people you have witnessed to, for the things that you've taken care of or have failed to take care of in your life? Are you ready? We're going to look at this text that we've read here expositorily. Notice what it says over there in verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. You see, deception is of the devil. Jesus was talking about Satan himself in John chapter 8, verse 44, when he said these words about the devil. He said, He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And when we're thinking about modern current events, all this thing going on, not only in our country, but throughout the world. You know what? I think there's a lot of lies that are really going out. And who is behind all of those things? It is literally Satan and the devilish forces themselves. There's not only a lying spirit that's gone throughout our country, but also a fearful spirit, great fear. I've been contacted by many people. I'm sure everyone you've talked to, so many people will say they're so afraid nowadays. Where does fear come from? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, it says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if God didn't give it to us, you know who did? This is a particular devilish spirit. Notice it says there, it doesn't say God has given us a spirit of fear. No, it says specifically the spirit of fear. This is a particular spirit. And it is a spirit that is, right now you could say, possessing the entire country. However, notice what it also says in 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casteth out fear. For fear hath torment. And I think it's perfect the way the Bible has used its words very carefully. It says it's casting out fear. And what is, you cast out a devil. And what is casting out fear? It says love casteth out fear. And we all know God is love. And the more God we have in us, and the more focused we are on Him, the less fear that we're going to have. No wonder so many have been tormented for so few weeks. But God casteth out fear. Amen. People are also deceived by confusion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 33, the Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion. God is not the one we get fear from. God's not the one we get lies from. And God's not the one we get confusion from either. The worst thing you can do when you start to get confused is to change course. Confusion, you know what confusion brings about? Confusion brings doubt, and doubt is the exact opposite of faith. Now, isn't it? And so many people have been doubting what's going on nowadays. What we're facing today is literally a devilish attack, and the devil's using his old tried and true methods of lies, fear, and confusion. But Jesus warns us in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be deceived on what is going on. We need to take heed. Take heed means, you know what? I don't necessarily need to swallow every single thing that the world tells me. Because you know what? What the world is telling me probably isn't true. It's led to a lot of fear and it's led to a lot of confusion. Let's go back to what God's word says, how things are going to be near the end. And when we see how they're really going to be during the end, what we're facing today is just, this is just a little drop in a bucket. People are going to look back one day when the tribulation happens and say, coronavirus, what was that? All right, absolutely nothing. Now let's read verse number 5. Verse 5 says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. How many cults have there been we've heard about where somebody has promised that they are the promised Messiah? And so many have been led astray. But when we think about these little cults, and we think about Jim Jones back in the 70s or different ones like that, the Koresh, those really, when you think about it, were just a few hundred people. That's really kind of a small group. And this verse says there's going to be people who are going to deceive many, saying, you know what, I am the promised Messiah, trust in me. And they're going to deceive many. All these other religions in the world, such as Islam, you know what? That has deceived many. They're saying, you know what? I am the way to heaven, and I am your promised Messiah. Here is the Bible's warning us about these very things. Some people, they get deceived, and they're like, you know what? How can I become my own little God? Because that's what Christ is. They try to do it through their own works, saying, well, if I can just do enough good more than I do bad, then I can become my own Messiah and earn my way into heaven. The Bible says here, be not deceived. You're not going to become your own little God either, and don't follow the cult of yourself. John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus does not say, I am a way. He says, I am the way. Through no other way, including not even your own way, because our ways are always flawed. So verse number 5 warns us there's going to be many false ways to go to heaven, false Christ, and many shall be deceived. Are you ready for the judgment day? Do not be deceived into thinking that you have all the time in the world. A lot of people have been thinking about the mortality of this virus, and I crunched the numbers last night, and in Kentucky, 99.99% of people don't have it. And I also saw this little article, and it says the survival rate is 99.99%. So whether you die of this or you're just driving down the street and a drunk hits you or a deer jumps out in front of you on one of Kentucky's roads, we do not know how much time that we have. Therefore, we need to be ready to go, whether it's in the rapture or when the Lord says your days here are numbered and this is your final day. Christian, are you ready? If you got the call tonight, you know, so-and-so just dropped dead of a heart attack. You know, more Americans will drop dead of a heart attack in one day than this virus has killed in the entire nation so far. And what if you get a call, so-and-so just dropped dead of a heart attack? Are you ready for that to happen? As in, have you said everything that you need to say? Have you got everything that you need to do with them made right, whether it's to witness to them or even to restore relationship with someone who is saved? Notice what it says in verse number 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Wars and rumors of wars. This all came true back in 2001. I remember after the attacks of 9/11 that I was watching a speech from President Bush, and he said, listen, we're going to go after the people who did this, and sometimes you'll hear about what we're doing, and sometimes you won't hear about what we're doing. And that is the very thing. Wars and rumors of wars. Are we still in Afghanistan today? Do we have troops there? Some people are like, well, yeah. Other people, no. And they're like, well, I heard there might be something going on. I'm not really sure. Wars and rumors of wars. But he goes on to say, don't be troubled. Just like Jesus reiterated in John chapter 14, verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. He keeps saying the same thing to all these different crowds. See, he says, don't let it be troubled, because it's something that we have control over. Did you realize that? Sin is always a choice. And you can let your heart be troubled, and that's what the Bible says specifically, not to do that. Fear is a reaction. Courage is taking action. Big difference between the two, isn't there? A reaction or taking action. I refuse to be afraid, because God says, let not your heart be troubled. Some of you, whether you're here today or you're watching via the internet, you may say, you know what? I have my heart right now is troubled. I've been troubled for the past 3-4 weeks. This has been going on. And Jesus specifically said that I'm not to let my heart be troubled. And if we're not supposed to do that and we do it, it is therefore sin. And that means something that we can get right tonight, this morning, and it's something that I hope that you will take care of. And from this point forward, you're going to say, you know what? I refuse to be troubled because my Lord told me not to be. Notice what it says there in verse number 7. It says, for nations rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Kingdom against kingdom. We've already talked about that and all the different wars and conflicts that are going on nowadays. Famines. For some reason, a lot of people think that famines are over. I remember back in the 80s, they had the all the people on TV and all the singers got together and sang, we are the world, and they wanted to feed the world. Do you realize that the famine in Ethiopia is still going on, despite America just kind of got tired of hearing about it, and we wanted to move on to the next thing? There is a great famine, a literal crisis of food emergency, not only there, but also in Nigeria, Somalia, South Sudan, Yemen, and others. Famines in many places throughout the world. It's talking about earthquakes. I looked it up yesterday as I was preparing the message. Did you know in the United States yesterday, there were earthquakes in Alaska, California, Texas, Puerto Rico, and Hawaii? And the biggest earthquake in the world that happened last week happened in Idaho. Who heard of an earthquake over in Idaho? It was a 6.5 on the Richter scale. You might have heard about that on the news. First time I heard about old Idaho having an earthquake. Earthquakes in diverse places. I looked it up, and the last 365 days, there have been more than 64,000 earthquakes. Wow. And it seems to be increasing each year. Pestilences. I looked that up. What does that actually mean? It says this can be two things. It can mean literally pests, and it can also mean diseases, viruses. And it says there's a disease coming one day. The Bible talks about that. It's going to be the first vial of God's wrath poured out upon the earth. It's going to cause these terrible sores, and it's going to kill one quarter of the entire earth's population. What we are facing now has a mortality rate of 0.01%. What is coming is going to kill a quarter of everybody everywhere, and that's just with the first vial of God's wrath. Boy, am I glad I don't have to be here for that. Amen, right there. Praise the Lord for the rapture. What we're seeing now is just a little scratch. Do not be deceived that these are the end times, because the end times being the tribulation, this is far from the tribulation. What we are seeing is we are getting right up close to that time, and I'm getting ready to get out of here. I'm ready to go. I hope you'll be ready to go this morning. Let's reread verse number 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. He's like, this is just something to get people ready, because well, what's getting ready to happen? In Revelation chapter number 6 is where it talks about when it really gets bad. Let's talk about in verse number 9. It says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I was looking over in the church bulletin this morning, and it's talking about how many hundreds of Christians are killed every single day around the world for their Christian beliefs. Here, even in America, we are seeing the persecution. We, praise God, have not seen it to that degree, but we're already starting to see it more and more. There was an article from the New York Times this past week, and the headline for the article is this, quote, "The road to coronavirus hell was paved by evangelicals," end quote, blaming us for this virus that came out of China. All right, how that happens, I don't know, but that is what the New York Times ran an article about last week, blaming the Christian no matter what it is. And I guarantee you, if somebody comes to church and actually in person, like some of y'all have today and other places around the country, and then later they come down with this stinking virus, everybody's going to say, well, it's because you went to church. They're not going to say because you went to the grocery store or because you went to the gas station, and we're just going to get blamed for everything. But be not troubled, because you know what? The Lord told me that's exactly the way it's going to be, especially right before he comes back. Oh, he's coming back real soon. I'd love if he came back on a Sunday, especially next week, Easter Sunday. Oh, I'd love to be preaching God's word Easter Sunday. Where were you? I was preaching the gospel just like I always had. Looking forward to that day coming. Are you ready to go? Ready and set. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to be able to take my kid to church because I don't want to force them to have my religion. You don't like force kid to go to school, I'm sure. You don't force kid to go to the doctor when they're sick. I'm sure of that. You know what? You don't have to force them to believe. But you know what? I know when I was a kid, I didn't live in America. America is a republic, a democratic republic. I lived in a dictatorship. I lived in dad land. And dad says, you're going to church, all right? And how can you expect a kid to be able to come to the same faith that you have come to if you don't take them to church? Romans chapter 10, verse 14 speaks of this. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are they going to come to faith if they're not exposed to the preaching of God's word by the preacher? Of course, they're going to hear in school and on TV that there is no God, and it's going to mock God, and oh, they're taking to school to hear all of that. Well, I think we need to people come to church to hear God's word as well. There's going to be a worldwide famine one day. Oh, I'm glad I'm not going to be here for that, because I'm a Baptist and I like to eat. All right, praise the Lord for that. Revelation chapter 9, verse number 6 talks about those days. It says, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. These days, people are doing everything they can to live. In those days, it's going to be so terrible, people are going to want to die. Oh, I don't want to be in here for those days. The Bible promises us that we can escape all of those things that are coming. The disease, war, famine, disasters, persecution. Don't have to be here for any of that. Praise God. There's a wonderful event that we as the church, we call the rapture. And that is one day when God says, everybody who's believed on Jesus Christ, I'm literally taking them out of this world. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that the Holy Spirit is holding back the Antichrist. And he will hold back the Antichrist until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the world. Well, the Holy Spirit, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into each and every single believer of Christ. And so as long as there's one believer, there's the Holy Spirit here. So until all of us are taken out, the Antichrist won't be revealed. So don't be looking for the Antichrist. We're never commanded to do that. What we are commanded to do is be looking forward to that day that the Lord says, it's time to go, come up hither. Revelation is the one that speaks a lot about that. All of it before it's happened. Revelation chapters 1 through 3 talks many different times about the church. And you'll see the church mentioned a lot. But then in chapter number 4, verse 1, it says, come up hither. And you don't see the church anymore on earth. Do you realize there is no guidance given to the Christian in the entire Bible on how to survive during the days of the Antichrist? There's no guidance on how you're supposed to live during the time of the tribulation. You know why that is? You're not going to be here. Praise God, if you're ready to go. And we don't see the church again until chapter 19 when the Lord physically comes back to earth and it says he comes back with his saints. Doesn't say he comes back for the saints, says he comes back with the saints. I'm looking forward to being up there anytime right now. Now let's go back to our chapter, Matthew chapter 24, and notice what it says about that rapture and that return. Over there in verse number 36 down to verse number 42. This is talking about that day of the rapture when some are going to be ready to go and others will not be ready. Verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, that's how they spelled Noah in the New Testament, for the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be in the field, there shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Ready, set, go. And there will be no time to get ready when that happens. Because the Bible describes this in 1 Corinthians 15:52. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye is just like 1/1000th of a second. There will be no time to prepare before this day comes. We have to get ready now. I see all the warning signs that Jesus warned us about are going on nowadays, and so few are getting ready. Reminds me about a month or so ago, this church wanted me to come out and preach. And it was a long distance, and so they said, well, Brother Lee, we'll get you a hotel room the night before so you can drive up on Saturday night and you don't have to get up with the crack of dawn Sunday morning. I said, well, I appreciate that. I went to the hotel. And then about 4:30 in the morning, I set a little alarm to get up for the next Sunday morning to go to church. About 4:30 in the morning, I hear an alarm going off. And I'm like, oh, goodness gracious, I've set the alarm wrong. And it's 4:30 in the morning. I wasn't going to get up till 7:30. And I go to hit the little clock to turn the alarm off. And I realize it's not the alarm clock going off. It's an alarm outside the door. It's the fire alarm. And I thought, it's 4:30 in the stinking morning. What kind of a dumb hotel runs a fire drill at 4:30 in the morning? And then it occurred to me, wait a minute. Hotels don't run fire drills. Oh my goodness, the hotel is on fire. Now all of this thing took me about 3 seconds to go through all of this. Well, Mama didn't raise no fool, so I sleep in my t-shirt, so all I had to do is I jumped out, I grabbed my pants, I got my shoes, grabbed my keys, my wallet. I'm out the door in 30 seconds. And now the night before when I pulled up, I got there kind of late. The hotel parking lot was full. I mean, they were almost to capacity. And so I thought, when I get outside this door, I'm probably going to have to try to muscle my way through to get towards the exit, because I was up on the second or third floor. And so I open the door, and there is no one at all in the hall. Not a single person. But as I'm moving with purpose to get toward the stairs so I can get out, I see all the doors are open, and everybody is just kind of looking around just to see what's going on. I'm like, hey, fire alarm, fire, let's get out, get out. And they're like, well, I don't see any fire, I don't see any smoke. And I'm like, there might not be smoke and fire here, but remember, we're on the second floor. There might be smoke and fire where we can't see it, and by the time you see it, the stairs might be blocked. You need to get out, people. And they're like, well, no, I think I'll just wait. And by the time I got downstairs to get out, I was the only person that got out of the building. Now, thank God it didn't burn to the ground. But that's so many people nowadays. They're like, well, once I see the fire and the smoke, you know what? By the time you see the fire and the smoke, it's too late to get ready. By the time those people in that hotel had seen the fire and they'd seen the smoke there and their spouses and their children, they couldn't get them out to safety anymore because they weren't ready to go. Are you ready to go? Because you know what? There's some fires coming. There's two particular fires that are coming. And the Lord talks about both of these fires. The first fire is in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that therein shall be burned up. Extreme global warming is coming. I don't care how much you recycle. I don't care how much you reuse. The Bible says God is going to literally burn it all up. So bury your tires. Burn all the styrofoam you want. It's not going to make one bit of difference. The girl's going to stay here till God says himself, I'm going to burn it up. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Lee. I like that. All right. So all is going to be destroyed. Everyone left behind will suffer like never before. They will look back on these days during this virus right now and say, those people lived in paradise. You can still go to the store. The gas station still has gas. The grocery store still has groceries for you to get. The electricity still comes on when you hit the switch. They're going to say, those were the days of paradise compared to what's coming. Better be ready to go. Great tribulation is coming. Matthew 24:22 says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Oh, but there is a far worse fire. There is a second fire that the Bible warns us about. Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15 says, the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. There is a second great fire. It says, but those who are found in the Lamb's book of life don't have to go to that place. You know how you can get in the Lamb's book of life? Jesus Christ was the lamb that was sent before the foundation of the world. It says he was the one who was slain. He who had no sin said, I will die to pay for all of the sins. And if you will accept him, then you know what you get written? If they take the lamb's blood upon your heart, then your name gets written in the Lamb's book of life. And when the books are open, it says, your name is here. Enter into my rest. But if your name is not in the book, you know what the Bible says God is going to say? He's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Doesn't say he knew you at one time and forgot either. He says, I never knew you. Are you ready for that day to come? God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants and has made a way for every single person to escape that second fire. If If anybody says, oh, God is destined some people to go to hell, well, they have a big problem with this verse, because God says, I don't want anybody to go. I've made a way for everybody to escape hell. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 says, God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't say who will have all men saved. It says who will. That's what he wants. That is his will. But he has given us a will, whether we will choose it or not. Today is the day of salvation. Christian, how many things do you need to set right when that day comes? Where there be something you're like, oh, I wish that I would have said such and such to my brother or my sister, my fellow Christian. Or somebody gets ready to go and you're like, oh, I wish I would have witnessed to them. And I never did. And then it will be too late. There will be no warning. Notice what it says in our text chapter in verse number 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Ready, set, go. It's a wonderful song we sing here in the church. It's called There's a Great Day Coming. It goes like this. There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by when the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are ye ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Because you know what, Christians? We will be judged as well. It says the books, plural, will be opened. The book of life determines whether I accepted Christ, whether I go into heaven or not. But it says the books will be opened and every man's will be judged according to his works. And Christian, our works don't get us into heaven, but when we're there, we will be judged by our works. Are you ready for the judgment day? We'll finish with this. Revelation chapter 21, verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. You know what the bride is? The bride is the church. We're inviting you to come. Come to Christ today. Come while there is time. Christian, come and make things right while there is time. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's free. God has made a way. If you're a person today who says, you know what? I've been troubled. I've been confused. I've been afraid. God says that's a sin. Today you can confess that, ask the Lord to forgive you, and say, Lord, I want to keep my eyes on you, because the more love of you I have in my heart, the less fear there's going to be in me. If you're someone who says, you know what, Brother Lee, I'm here today, or I'm watching online, and I've never personally accepted Jesus Christ's blood for the payment of my sins, then you can get ready to go to heaven and escape the horrors of hell and the tribulation today by asking him to save you. We'll have a time of prayer. You don't have to pray the words that I'm praying. If you think that the Lord would have you to do that, then I encourage you to. But whatever the need of the hour, I encourage you to do business with God now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of mercy this morning. I thank you, Father, for your preserved, inspired, infallible word. I thank you, Father, for the great promise that you've given us, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank you, Father, that you've given us sweet assurance that you'll take us out before that great time of tribulation comes. If there's anyone here today, Father, listening, that's never accepted you, then, Father, I ask that by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would bring conviction. Father, if they will simply cry out now and say, Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I accept the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, for the payment of my sins. I trust that you'll take me to be with you forever in heaven. I thank you, Father, for that great promise that you've given us, that great deliverance, for the price that you paid that we could never pay. Thank you, Father, for all things that you see fit to do. And as John said, Father, even so come. Lord Jesus, all these things we pray in his powerful, precious, and holy name. Amen. Pastor Muncy, we'll turn it back over to you.